Good afternoon, Vince. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. So I think we're here today to talk about EVP, aren't we, and why it's so important.
I mean, it's always been something that's pretty hot on our radar, particularly, but the conversations around how important it's going to be moving forward, I think, have prompted us to do a dedicated session on it, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think from my point of view, looking at the future going into 2025, 26, I think this is becoming more and more important as we go on. Certainly, a lot of companies are starting to take it quite seriously at the moment. So, slightly different to your employer branding, this is really looking internally as much as externally to get traction, really, with people. How do you retain people? How do you actually go about doing that? Is it with your reputation? Is it around things like skills-based development, internal mobility, all of those things sort of all rounded up into EVP now? So, yeah, so this should be an interesting one. And I know you've got some data on this
Oh, I've
that
got
you were digging
data on
up.
everything. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about that. What have you got?
So I thought it'd be really good to come into this one because, when I first joined FarmyWeb in 2019, you were already talking about EVP quite extensively. But one thing that we had then that we don't have these days is clients going, ah, it's really not on our radar at the moment. It's not something that we're looking into. We're focusing on just recruitment, left, right, center. These days, that doesn't happen. And I think the data I'm about to give really justifies why people are starting to take it really seriously. So the first bit of data, it's from a candidate's perspective. 92% of people would consider the move if offered a role at a company with an excellent EVP. That's a huge portion of people that are willing to leave a role that even one that they're happy in, just because a company's got a brilliant value proposition.
Yeah, well, we see this all the time. Yeah, if you look at all the best performing companies on FarmingWeb, and then when we look at our competitors and benchmark, it's always the one where they've gone down the culture route. It's all about us. It's all about you. What can we do to work together? Work-life balance, all those sorts of things. And that reputation goes out. People know, people want to work for that company. Because the
It's
messaging
true.
is absolutely bang on. It's amazing the difference that just a couple of extra points that they get makes, huge difference on the amount of applications they get, the amount of people want to work for them, the amount of people that actually stay within the organization that they don't lose to competitors, even though competitors try really hard to actually take them. So EVP is important.
It is, and it does run parallel with your brand. We've got some very well-known brands within life sciences that you don't think of them from a value proposition point of view. You just know them as a household name. They're on your toothpaste, they're on your paracetamols, proper brands that we know. So that's obviously really beneficial, just being a recognizable brand. Candidates are 40% more likely to apply for your jobs. So why it's relevant for smaller organizations to really invest in EVP is you're losing the lion's share of candidates to the popular household names who haven't invested heavily in EVP, and they're just relying on their brand at this time to attract people. So you've got to really think smart and work hard to make sure that you're a forerunner in value.
Yeah, there's a big benefit to cost per hire as well, isn't there?
A huge one, yeah. So if you have a really good employer brand and you have a really good value proposition, if you do all of the work, you can reduce your cost by hire by up to 50%. And that's
Yeah, that's
because
major.
you it's huge. If you're hiring up the scale, it's tens of thousands of pounds. That's you don't have to go to specialist recruiters. People are coming to you. You don't have to post so many different job ads. You don't have to do newsletters, all of the proactive stuff that normally you'd have to do to attract people. You simply don't have to do them. You save a lot of money by just getting this right.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the really popular things that people like to see is 66% of candidates, they want to hear from existing employees in that organization, specifically existing employees. What do you think on that one?
Yeah, well, again, from my point of view, when I'm talking to clients more at a consultancy level, and the thing that I advise everyone to do is to go more down the video route. Not professional videos, not actors, real people in their own words. So obviously they're teed up so they know what they're going to say, but you're asking them, if you've got internal champions, you've got people that absolutely love the company, get them on video for 60 to 90 seconds. I prefer 90 seconds. Most people say 60, but I think 90 is perfect. Just talking about, you know, what's so great about the organization, what they love about their manager, what do they love about what the company does for them. Good. You know, you just can't beat that, because it's real people.
And they're not perfect.
They're not perfect. You know, they haven't done multiple takes. You know, it's just someone talking.
So, do you remember we went down to that regulatory consultancy and we did video work with them, and they were all very nervous about doing it, but two or three of them were exceptional, and they still use the videos. And that was 2 minutes work.
Yeah, doesn't literally takes hardly any effort. But if you're a big organization and you've got to go through all of the sign off processes, it makes it a bit more difficult. But I'm starting to see more and more companies now just, you know, getting real people in there. And just talking about, you know, what the company does, and you can use them to do different things at different levels. I mean, one of the things I suggested to a couple of companies recently is that every new joiner should make a statement and a short video. You know, why did you pick us?
Yeah.
Fantastic. You know, get it from the, for the sake of a better word, the horse's mouth. You know,
absolutely.
They're the ones that have been looking in the market. They're the ones that have made all the approaches to companies. They've gone through the decision-making process, and they picked you. Why?
It's a really good point, because also you'd never really get a chance to review and evaluate your own process. So getting it straight from the people you've just brought in will let you know where the really strong parts are, what you should be doing more of, but also what's not working and what you can, you know, come off the gas on.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Good idea. I like it. You know, the role of recruitment, we've spoken about this quite a lot. It's changing dramatically due to AI, due to just process, due to everything. But did you know that 46% of recruiters see recruiting becoming a bit more like marketing?
Yeah, no, absolutely. But again, the world's changed, isn't it? You know, you've now got AI that can do a lot of the manpower type things that you used to do that can save you up to 50% of your time. So you've got more time to think about how you market the company, what sort of messaging do you put out there. You're working on your culture, you're working on your benefits package, but it's got to be down to a local level. You know, I say to people all the time, if you're recruiting in Spain, it's no good showing them your global messaging, which is coming out of the US, because it's completely irrelevant. In Spain, it's a different place. You just have to work differently in that area. And that's where your talent acquisition team can really make a difference. Use the right people at the right time in the right place. And all of a sudden, it, you know, it really does make a difference to actually the sort of people that you get on board.
Well, absolutely. And while we're on that note, then, while we've got these people in the right place doing the right things, let's talk about what kind of messaging that we actually need to use. Like, it's all well and good saying, have a strong EVP, do your branding. What do we mean when we say that? One of the things we've already covered is, you know, using real employees. Like, what would you have those employees saying?
Well, it's, for me, it's all about different aspects. So, you know, what sort of training am I going to get? Where am I starting? What's my manager look like? What's my intro package? Who do I go and see? If I need help, who do I ring? How am I going to be managed? Is my time flexible? And how flexible is it? You know, all those sort of caring, sharing, well-being things all sort of tie into that. It's become more important than anything else, because, you know, there's a lot of people actually leaving the industry. They said, look, it's too hard. You know, I'm feeling too stressed. I'm too anxious. You know, I'm under pressure all the time. I'll go and do something else.
Yeah.
Because they can.
It's true. It's true. One of the things that I quite like, not so much with these companies that have been around for hundreds of years, but with newer, smaller companies, is I really like when they tell the story of why they started. You know, when you go back to some of the big dogs, they all started for similar reasons, you know. But now I'm finding that you've got really inspiring stories of organizations starting, and that's really attractive to candidates, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And some companies do that really well. But it really depends on, again, the location. You know, you've got to think about what the message is going to be, what sort of people you want, and how they're going to react to what you're saying as well. So it's slightly different. So I think, to me, one of the best ones was CSL in Australia, who started their messaging. I'm not going to read it out. People can go and view it on the website. But it's a very strong, passionate message about why they started and why they're still doing it. And it's They're there to support people. They're there to try and make people feel better. That's why they do it.
Yeah, I think it's really strong. And when we think about the fact that a lot of candidates today want to feel valued, they feel like they want to do work that matters. Aligning yourself with the mission of a company and their reasons for doing what they do is really powerful. It's going to tick that box for sure. So we've talked about using real employees. We've talked about telling the story. Benefits is another big one. You know, talk about the benefits of joining your organization, right? Like, why would they join you and not competitor 1, 2, and 3? Specifically, what do you do that those people don't do? And that could be like the level of training you do. That could be things like mentorship programs. I was speaking to a large pharmaceutical company, global, but they were based in Bracknell in Berkshire, and they had this incredible LGBTQ incentive in their organization, that if you are external to the organization, you don't necessarily know it would be there. And it's kind of like, yeah, our aim for next year is to really start shouting about that. You know, it's because it is attractive. So that's a really key thing, because the competitors of this organization, I checked, they're not doing that.
No. Well, I think we're in an industry that's actually really good at almost everything it does, apart from one thing. They don't sell themselves.
Yeah.
They're not very good at it. You know, if you've got a really good best practice type solution to something, you know, they keep it to themselves. They don't say that, you know, we did this because, you know, we wanted to be the leaders. You know, we recently did a webinar with Par Excel talking about their excellence in D&I, you know, and they've absolutely nailed it. And unless you look deeply, actually, it's quite difficult to find that sometimes, but, you know, they are really good. They're really passionate about it. They're really good at, you know, bringing people on board, helping and supporting people. And that's the sort of thing that you want.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's all about what's in it for me, what's in it for the candidate, you know, and whether that is, you know, first rate, best in the world, well-being initiatives, whether it's you know, rock star level promotions and, you know, everything through the ranks, whether it's leading your own team. You know, you've got to really say, you've got to really talk about your differentiators and why they should come to you. So those are kind of the four pillars, I guess, of you know, the messaging that you need to use. But while we've touched on benefits slightly, I think it's probably really important that we delve into what some of the big ones are going to be for the next year. Do you reckon?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, I think the next year is quite important, because I think as the industry starts to pick up, we know that's going to happen from around Q2. That's where all the money's suggesting it's going to happen. I think retention of candidates is going to become really important. You know, you've got to keep your people. You spend a lot of time and effort on them. They know the organization. Typically, they love working for you. They're moving just for odd reasons. You know, find out what those reasons are, and your reputation can help you with that.
Yeah.
And the other thing that can help with that is internal mobility. So, you know, allowing people to move around within the organization. You know, if you look at all of the latest coming out from management consultancies, from big pharma, from big CROs, they're all looking at skills-based employees and skills-based recruitment using the talent acquisition teams. And it's the gaps where they've got, you know, so how do you actually develop someone's skills so that they don't have to stay on a linear career path, you know, so you don't necessarily have to be just one thing. They can skill you up to do other things, to cover gaps, and that way you become much more interesting, much more important to the company, but it also makes your job a little bit more diversified as well. So there's no more, I'm going to go A, B, C, D in my career. You could be doing A, B, then I'm going to have a little change. I'm going to do something internal within the company. I might move into marketing or management. I might become a subject matter lead or something like that, and then come back to your original career progress chart and go, you know, D, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is around personalized development programs. And they're based on you as an individual, not as the group. And that's where it's important. You become the most important thing. And I think companies are looking at that and thinking, well, how do we implement that? Is it going to be difficult? Is it not? Is it just a management issue? Do we need to just change the way that we think about our employees? You know, it's going to cost us double, if not treble, to try and replace someone that's already got all the skills internally. You know,
yeah.
So, you know, adding on all the extra bits that you need to do makes all the difference, in my
sure
point
does.
Of view.
No, you're absolutely right. It won't surprise you to learn that personalised benefits and upskilling are two of the big ones for 2025, along with things like mental health support. You know, transparency and support and mental health in the workplace is something that has been increasingly popular. I want to say popular, I don't know if that's the right word, but since particularly the pandemic and since we started learning more about things like burnout, mental health and well-being has been like well up there. So this is up there as a big benefit for next year. Anyone that's got incentives around mental health is going to do very, very well. Flexible work arrangements. I mean, we know that that's kind of a big thing for most people. I think the stats from the last webinar we did were kind of 75% of all workers say that it's a non-negotiable. There needs to be flexibility.
Yeah,
fair enough. Parental and family benefits. If you're in the UK particularly, it's only getting more expensive to have kids, and the incentive to work from that point of view, it's getting lesser and lesser seemingly, particularly when you're just starting in a role or just starting in a career. Sustainability and environmental benefits too, things like electric car schemes, cycle to work schemes, those are again increasingly popular again this year. And I think that's because we're becoming a lot more switched on to the environment and what we're doing to the planet now that we haven't got, you know, a global pandemic to worry about and that kind of thing. It's definitely on the radar a lot more, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was just browsing this morning because I knew we were having this chat this afternoon, and I saw this from GSK. So I'm going to read it out because I think it's really good, actually. It's just an overview. Our personalised approach to work enables colleagues to have more choices about how they work and meet both their personal needs and the needs of a business. Through regular check-in conversations, managers discuss with colleagues how they can thrive in all aspects of their lives and deliver their best work at GSK, supported by a range of life-friendly policies. These policies include formal arrangements such as flexible hours, part-time working and job shares, as well as informal arrangements such as working from different locations. We regularly review our life-friendly programs and policies to ensure we position ourselves competitively and support the needs of our colleagues. You know,
that's
a
nice
statement. They put that out there. You know, you can't get any better than that. And you wouldn't expect anything less from GSK because they are a great company.
And they're good at what they say as well. Because what I thought you were going to say is, you know, it's our life-friendly policy and they were just going to leave it at that. Because we see so much of that in this industry, don't we? Here's the thing that we're coining a term on, but we're not going to tell you anything about it. What they've done there is be transparent about what that actually means and some of the things that is really important to them. And I think that that should be standard when it's communicating.
Yeah, absolutely. And companies need to take heed of this because, you know, if you really want good people and you want to keep good people, you're going to have to work at it because people will, you know, vote with their feet. Basically, they're just going to go somewhere where I can go work there. It's a nice environment. I'm going to be taken care of. I'm going to be given opportunities and I'm going to go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Simple Very good. Very good. And this segues me into the next point really, really well. Where did you see that statement, by the way? Was that just on their website or was it on LinkedIn?
I think it was on their website. The other thing that they did is really good is they're really good at positioning themselves as, even though they're this huge behemoth of a company, at a local level, they're very, from a culture point of view, sort of localized, family friendly. I mean, they did a video that I've watched a number of times and actually used on some occasions to do presentations on best practice on using Montrose as a small manufacturing site. They're all family friendly. Everyone there loves it. You know, you can be a big company, but you can still be at a local level, you know, very almost village like, you know.
It's a really nice way of saying
it. We're all friends. We're all family. That's what you want.
See, that's the thing that really surprised me. When you think of GSK, you think of tower block style office, huge campus, you know, loads of people. But then you watch that Montrose video and it's like, oh, no, they all know each other's names. These people are, this is a small community within the larger GSK community. And I think that's really cool because you just don't expect that. How do you get that messaging in front of people? Obviously, we've just touched on videos. We've touched on things like articles. Infographics is another really, really good one. I remember one you put in front of me a few months back. It was from Cineas, and it was a career progression of someone that had joined them back in like 2013. And it showed the job role, what they were doing, how long they were doing it for. And it followed in a really nice visual, kind of like the yellow brick road of this person's career. I really liked that. And if I'm still thinking about it months later, it's a good sign, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and again, you know, seniors are very good at doing that because when you employ a lot of people, it's very good to actually sort of actually single someone out and say, look, look how well this person's done. And all they've done is follow their career. Icon are very good as well. So on the other side of the coin of that, Icon obviously do a lot of that themselves as well. But the other thing that Icon do that I think is really clever is if you go onto LinkedIn, literally every day you're seeing something where they're getting together as a group, they're out in the sunshine having management meetings, it's all one-to-ones, or they're promoting, you know, the fact that they've just had a get-together in their India office, or, you know, everyone's, you know, working together on some charity events. And it's like when you're looking at messaging, it's like constant. It's there should be something every single day. And they're really good at doing that. I mean, I know they're a big company and they've got a big team.
Yeah.
But a lot of those things are all being fed into that team. You know, anything that you're doing, just feed it back. Mm. Anything you want to get involved in, you know, go and do it and then let us know what you're doing. You know, it's actually encouraged by the management team. We're not just one of the biggest CROs. We're actually a family inside. We all support each other. We're all there. You know, they've got to work well from a commercial point of view.
Mm.
But it doesn't mean you can't have fun. And no, it doesn't absolutely. Mean you can't do the things you need to do. So, yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah, I think you've also got to be omni-channel with this stuff. You can't just put it all on your website as press releases and hope that everyone sees it. Because, you know, we all know that, you know, pharmaceutical companies, career websites, they get less traffic than they would like to get. That's why they use external suppliers. That's why they use things like FarmyWeb, LinkedIn, Indeed, all of these other platforms they can use. Because they don't get the traffic, so they need to make sure they're putting their messaging in these other places as well. You know, on LinkedIn, we see a lot of these companies doing video on there, particularly of things like day in the life. You know, here's a day in the life at our site in Hoddesdon with Pharma on. You know, things like that really, really stand out. But then also what these companies will do is they'll use things like FarmyWeb to send direct newsletters to the kind of candidates they're attracting. But then they'll also have articles and press releases going out on other sites. So that omni-channel approach is what's gonna work. You can't just put all your eggs in one basket and kind of hope it sticks. You've got to reach multiple communities in multiple places. And I think that an underutilized thing that most companies these days have is a talent community on their careers page. You know, we don't have any jobs live at the moment, but you can sign up. You can join our talent community. Utilizing that properly is something that I've not seen any company do. And there's really good implications with AI for that, sending sort of news, media opportunities, just all nicely catered on a weekly, bi-weekly basis. You know how you do kind of holding emails in the recruitment process, that sort of thing. If you can do that and update your talent community regularly, they're going to stay in that talent community and they're going to keep looking at the jobs that are there. So I think that that's something that a lot of companies could get better at doing.
Yeah. And I mean, funnily enough, I talk to a lot of companies at the moment about social media listening. You know, what are you actually doing to actually find out what's going to market? What are people saying about you? What's happening? You know, is there a change in view? Is there something else you should be doing? And I think companies that are not doing that really should start doing it, because, you know, there's a lot that's said out there, and sometimes you just need to have a voice or need to be aware of something, or even just answer what someone said, you know, because they might have the wrong end of the stick, and to have no voice nowadays is deadly. And I think the other thing that's really good as well that a lot of companies forget is blogs. If you've got membership of blogs, if you regularly contribute to a blog, it's very, very focused on where you are. You know, if you're in a farm company, the therapy area, etc. No, utilize those blogs. Get the messaging out there as well. So it's sometimes thinking out of the box. And it's one of the things that, you know, we look at a lot of time when we're, you know, doing specialist campaigns for people. And you've got to think about where you're doing it as well. You know, what's the hot thing in that location? So there's quite a lot of those sort of things that go on.
There is, there is. There's a lot to think about. But if we were to sum everything up in sort of a sentence, what would you say the key takeaways of this are?
For me, it's more personalization for your employees, your EVP. You need to keep those people, retain them, work with them, develop their skills so they're more useful to the organization. Mm. Keep them learning, keep them moving forward. Don't leave someone just sat there in the doldrums. Mm. You know, that's not enough nowadays. We need to do more. When you're looking at, you know, millennials, Gen Z, Gen X, you know, these are clever individuals with lots of choices. They're online 24/7, bombarded by information and all sorts of things that are going on out there. You know, you've got to make sure that you give them the right messaging, keep them happy, keep them growing, keep them doing the right things. So personalized development plans, more mentoring, especially, and give them, you know, some targets, even short term. I'm seeing a lot of micro promotions going on, you know, 3 monthly promotions to keep people, you know, you're still moving forward. You've achieved this goal. Well done. You know, doesn't have to be a financial benefit, but it needs to be a benefit to that individual. What about you?
For me, I think investing in omni-channel candidate attraction and marketing is going to be the big one, making sure your messaging's in multiple places. And then just investing that little bit more in your benefits to make sure you're actually staying competitive and not just saying you are.
Yeah, I'd only add to that, make sure the benefits are localized. You know, so having a parking space in the city is a big benefit, but it's not a big benefit if you're in the middle of a field in the countryside.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Think about the local benefits. You know, when we work in Australia, one of the biggest benefits anyone can get is, you know, being by the sea so they can go surfing. You know, that's just one of those things. So think about those little things. It's the little things that matter, and be flexible. You know, sometimes a classic example to me is if, you know, someone's a carer and they need to take a little bit of extra time off, they might need to go home at lunchtimes. Give them the opportunity to do that. Don't lose a really, really good person just because their personal circumstances are making it difficult for them. It's not that they don't love you as a company and they don't think it's great working for you. It's circumstances are sometimes out of their control. So be as flexible as you can.
They'll love you even more in the long run too. You know, that loyalty, it's worth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so much. You know, if you're in a position where you've got elderly parents, kids, whatever, you can care for them and do the job you love, you'll stay there forever.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool.
Nice one. Thanks,
all right, Vince. Well, I think that's pretty much covered everything. Obviously, we've got webinars on these. We're going to be doing more podcasts on some of these things. So anyone that's listening to this, they want more information, especially on personalized development roadmaps, come and talk to us. I've just recently done a lot of research on this, so we might be able to help you.
Nice one. Right. Take care, everyone. Thank you.
Cheers.